Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we conclude our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit known as kindness. We talked last week about what kindness is. Kindness is helping people, not just focusing on our own needs, but also on the needs of others. Now, the picture on your sermon outline shows someone giving a helping hand to another person. That's what kindness looks like, giving a helping hand. Now, our motivation to be kind to others, as we talked about last week, doesn't come from ourselves or our own willpower. Our motivation for being kind to others is that God has been kind to us. And that's what our epistle lesson focuses on today from Ephesians 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. We forgive because in Christ God forgives us. We're kind to others because God in Christ has been kind, incredibly kind to us, helping us in all of our needs, both physical and spiritual needs. Now, we have the privilege and the opportunity as children of God to show and demonstrate the kindness of God to other people. I say it's a privilege because we know that kindness brings happiness and joy to people, not just to the people who are receiving it, but also and especially to the people who are showing kindness to others. It's a win-win virtue. Wherever there's kindness, happiness and joy are going to follow for the giver and the person receiving. So, how do we put our kindness into action? Well, when we confess our sins, we talk about how we are sinful in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, which I think is a pretty good summary of our whole life, right? So today, I'll just talk about it in the opposite way. How we can do good works, acts of kindness, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds or in our actions. Two examples of ways we can practice kindness in each of those 6 ways total. So let's start with kind thoughts. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4, verse 8. One way is to be, is to think positively, or to think what I call tenerpola. Because of our sinful nature, we tend to think negative about everything. We naturally think negatively about our life, about ourselves, and also about other people, if we're honest. It comes naturally to us to think about the worst of people. God encourages us in Philippians 4:8 not to think the worst, but to think the best, to think positively about everything, including people. Tenerpola is an acronym I used to help me memorize this verse because I really wanted to make this verse part of my life, but I had trouble keeping it straight. It's easy for me to focus on the negative, but God wants me to think tenerpola about everything, especially people. Therefore, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. If anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Luther in his catechism in the explanation of the 8th commandment called it putting the best construction on everything, or putting everything in the kindest possible way. Kindness means trying to think the best about people. For instance, you have a coworker who's really grumpy and snaps at you for no reason. You don't have a choice. You could think, well, that person's evil, that person's awful, I should never be around that person again, and he is so much worse than I am. Or you could listen to what the Bible says and what Luther tells us. You could put it in the kindest possible way. Looks like that person is having a rough day. I wonder how I could help him. Maybe I could pray for him. And that brings us to that second kind thought, which is prayer, right? The best kind of kind thoughts are prayers. Jesus says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. As Christians, we are not helpless victims of circumstances. We can never throw up our hands and say, oh, there is nothing I can do. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. No, we always have the power of prayer with us. God gives us that particular power and privilege. Now, we ourselves don't have the power to help everyone in this world, but we know someone who does, and that's what prayer is all about. And God loves it when you pray. When you pray for yourself, when you pray for others, and he really loves it when you pray for people who have hurt you or mistreat you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus tells us to love our enemies, and it's so instructive that the very next thing he tells us to do is pray for our enemies. He practically equates prayer and love as being the same thing. Love those who hurt you. Pray for them. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would open their eyes. Pray that God would forgive them. That's what Jesus did, right? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And we don't know what else to do. We always have the option of prayer. And that is a powerful option. It is a powerful act of kindness. If you want to change your life, start changing the way you think. Kindness starts in our hearts and in our minds. That's where it all begins, with kind thoughts towards other people. It starts in our thoughts, but it does not end there. Kindness shows itself with kind words. Number two, kind words, starting with encouragement. God calls Christians to be encouragers. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Again, the world's a discouraging place. If you are discouraged today, congratulations, you're a completely normal human being. It's normal to be discouraged. If you are encouraged today, you probably have someone to thank because someone probably encouraged you. It might have been God. God encourages us through the power of His Word, which is why He wants us to be students of His Word. And then He wants us to encourage others as well. And people really need encouragement. Look how strongly God puts it in Ephesians 4. Just read along with me as I read this. Let lots of unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. No, that's not what it says. Let just a little bit of unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Nope. That's not what it says. Listen, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now that is convicting. Not one word. If it's not going to help the person, if it's not going to encourage the person, if it's not going to build that person up, it's better to say nothing. It's just zip it, right? Instead, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants us to speak words of kindness and encouragement to others, to build other people up according to their needs. When it comes to words, we're all in the construction business. The way we sometimes talk, we would think it's our job to tear other people down, to make them feel like nothing, to criticize and complain to them. But that is not our job given to us by the Lord. Our job is to be in the construction business when it comes to words, to build other people up by our words, not tear them down. Hebrew puts it this way, to encourage one another as long as it's called today, every day. Encourage one another daily. Our job every day is to build up other people through our words. Now, along with encouragement, we need to be thankful. Paul goes on to say just a few verses later in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. You see, obscenities, cuss words, vulgar language, rude and crude jokes are out of place for God's holy people. People get to know us by our words. Our words have a huge effect on others. And God wants us to make our words count. He doesn't want us to speak words that tear down, but words that build up and encourage. He doesn't want us to say cuss words or angry obscenities. He wants us to share words of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for all the good things He has done, and taking time to say thank you when other people are kind to us. Thanksgiving should always be on the lips of Christians. You know, saying thank you can make such a difference in people's lives. It has a profound effect on people. People are used to other people whining and complaining. And many times people are taken for granted. They don't get to hear thank you a whole lot. It's important to thank people, to thank strangers when they help you, to thank friends who are kind to you. But there is one group of people today I want to focus on who could really use your thanks, and that group of people is your family. Of all the people in our lives, I believe it's our families that get taken the most for granted. We expect them to be kind. We expect them to do their work. We expect them to do the things that they do each and every day. We take it for granted, and God says we shouldn't. Take time to thank your family for what they're already doing. Parents, thank your children when they do the right thing. Children, thank your parents for all their hard work and the sacrifices they make. And spouses, especially spouses, make sure you take time to Thank each other for all the things your husband or your wife does for you. Saying thank you makes a big difference in the lives of other people. We want to be kind in every possible way, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. And the two ways we can do that that I'm going to point out today are generosity and serving. First of all, let's talk about generosity. Ephesians chapter 4, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. We are called to be generous. Why? Because God is generous and we all want to be more like God. Notice first Paul says, get to work. Work is not the humdrum, mindless drudgery that the world paints it to be. That's a lie of the devil. Work, having a job to do, is an incredible blessing from the Lord. Through work, we meet our own needs, and as a bonus, many times have something left over to share with others. Paul says all of us should work so that we all have something to give, because Christian giving is a joy. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says so. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful in Greek is hilarion, which is exactly where we get the word hilarious from. That is the attitude God wants us to have, one of laughter, joy, and hilarity when we give. Now, some of you work at jobs that are so important they don't have a paycheck. Make no mistake, you are still working. Charity can be giving money, but it doesn't always have to be money. It could be something else. Because stewardship, God wants us to share our time, our treasures, and our talents with other people. And I don't need to tell the people of St. Matthew about this because you have shown yourself to be generous in every way, in your time, in your treasures, and in your talents as well. This week, I've been so impressed how many people gave so much of their time so we could have a joy-filled VBS this week. I saw so many people willing to give their time and their talents this week, and the reason they did it is because they wanted to give to the Lord and they wanted to serve God's people. And that's our final point today, serving. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. We can be kind to each other by serving each other in love. Serving means to put your own needs and wants aside for a little while and focus on meeting the needs of someone else. It's lending a helping hand to someone in need. It's meeting the needs, the physical and spiritual needs of others. Serving is not a chore that God makes us do against our will. As Christians, we are free people. Our salvation is secure. We're going to heaven, not because we do good works, not because of acts of kindness, but because of what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection. And now we are free to do whatever we want to do, whatever we choose to do. But what we choose to do is serve others by the power of the Holy Spirit, to serve one another in love, not because we have to, but because we get to. Why? Because Jesus served us. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. It always comes back to Jesus, doesn't it? We serve because he served us by giving his life as payment for all of our sins. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because in Christ, God forgives us. And we choose kindness in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds because God has been so kind to us. Amen. Now, with the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.